The Gospel of John in your Bibles, we want to look at what we call the incarnation of Christ. Incarnation is just a word that means when Christ became flesh. The incarnation of Christ. And we have to understand that certainly at this Christmas time, we sometimes get too wrapped up in the baby in the manger instead of understanding that's a part of the big picture of Jesus Christ, the Creator, the God of eternity, who came to earth for the purpose of bringing salvation to mankind. And so we want to look at Jesus Christ, who he is, who he was before he came to earth and was born in the manger in Bethlehem, and then look at what he is doing and what state is he in now. In John 1:1, these are familiar verses. We want to, these verses, the first three tell us of the pre-incarnate Christ, or before Christ became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And so we find that the pre-incarnate Christ is, and remember that the four Gospels give us four different pictures of Christ. It's like the drawings for this building, when they drew elevations of the building from north, south, east, and west, so that we could see what the building looked like. Looking from just one side, you don't understand all about the building. And so they did the same thing with the Gospels. Matthew presents Christ the King in his kingdom. Mark, Christ the suffering servant. Luke, Christ the Son of Man. And John, Christ the Son of God. And so looking at four different pictures, and really to understand the life and ministry of Christ, we need to take the four Gospels as a whole instead of just picking up pieces from just one or two of them. But here we find that in the beginning was the Word. Don't take time to go back to Genesis 1:1 because you know it very well. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so we see that these states, in the two statements, in the beginning. Beginnings are always interesting. And Genesis 1:1 tells us the beginning. This is the beginning of recorded time. The beginning of the earth as an actual physical substance. Before that, it did not exist. And so, in Genesis 1:1, Christ is the creator of the old creation. Christ made everything that exists, God created. We'll take time to go in to creationism and why we believe that. But it's just a matter of fact that everything, Christ created the DNA for each individual species on the earth, made them distinct, and made them to be able to survive. And if we look at the thought of that, it's just incredible. But we also see that Christ is not only the creator of the old creation, but he's the agent of the new creation. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So Christ is the agent of creation of everything physical in the world we know. But also Christ is the creator or the agent of the new creation of someone who's trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior and becomes a new creature in Christ. And the next verses from verse 4 down through verse 9 tell us Christ is the light. Verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." It's interesting when you consider the thought of Christ and light. We like light. We don't like darkness. If we have a dark parking lot, we put lights around it to brighten it up so that we can see. We don't like in our homes at night. I've got night lights, the little LED night lights that are plugged in strategic places so that I can see where I'm going if I don't turn the lights on. But here we see that Christ is the light. Jesus said in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light. In John 9 and verse 5, he says, as long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Now, Christ said, I am the light. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we find there that God created light. Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created light on the first day of creation. Okay, quiz for you now. You ready? On what day did he create the sun, the moon, and the stars? This is Holman Wins, day 4. And so if the light was created on day 1 and the sun, moon, and stars weren't created till day 4, what lighted the world until the sun, moon, and stars were created on day 4? Jesus Christ was the light of the world. We have to understand that Jesus Christ is light. It's not that he created a light for the creation, but Jesus said, I am the light. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, speaking of the new Jerusalem, the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. 1 John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, it's interesting to think about that. Light existed before the creation of the sources of light that we see now, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And God created. Now, I believe the Bible teaches that the world was created in 6 literal 24-hour days, someplace between 6 and 10,000 years ago. Now, we have stars that we see that exist now that are hundreds of light years away, thousands of light years away. And so, how did they see the stars? If the stars were created on day 4, a lot of those stars they shouldn't have seen for another 200 years. Because light travels 186,000 miles per second, and it takes a long time to get here from some of those stars. But don't you think if God could create the sun, the moon, the stars, he could create them with the light already reaching the earth? I mean, that just seems simple to me. But God created light, and in the New Jerusalem, in heaven, we will not need artificial light. We'll not need the sun, the moon, the stars, because Jesus Christ provides the light for that. Now, I don't understand all that. I don't understand all about the light being created as already being here from stars that are thousands of light years away. I don't understand that. I don't understand how it works. But I believe it did. And so Christ is the light of the world. And he says, let me go back to another verse here that I had. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 5, I, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now we know Jesus was in the world for 33 and a half years. He died, he's buried, he rose again, he ascended up to heaven 40 days after his resurrection. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is no longer in the world physically as he was then. And so if Jesus is no longer in the world, then where is the world going to get spiritual light?
His followers,
right. Christ told us, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He says, men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And so we have a responsibility to be light to the world. And I guess over and over, I see how dark the world is. How the world doesn't have the light of truth and reality shining on it that the Word of God gives to us, and we should, you know, I don't get much into politics and things like that. I try not to. But you know, when I read that we have illegal stores selling marijuana in St. John's, and they give them a building violation instead of closing them down, I don't understand that. Why does that happen? Because the world walks in darkness. Why do things happen like that? Why do things happen? You probably heard about the fire in a warehouse that they were having an illegal party in, and they said dozens. Last news I heard last night, they didn't even know how many had died. Dozens died in that fire. Why do things like that happen? Because people walk in darkness. And we have to understand that when we deal with people in the world, they are walking in darkness. It's no wonder they stumble around and have trouble. People walk in darkness, and when we have talk about Christmas and Christ being born, they have trouble seeing that because they walk in darkness. Going back to John chapter 1, in verse 10 it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was the creator, and we'll just go on from there. But we see that Christ came to the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, or nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we see Christ came, he came unto his own. We know that the Jewish people rejected him, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, and we know that on that day of Pentecost, there were thousands that received him. We know later on there were 5,000 that received him there in the city of Jerusalem. And so we know, as many as received him, to them gave him power or authority to become the sons of God. And so Christ is the Messiah to the Jews and the Gentiles. And then in verse 14, we see that Christ is the God-man. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. We know that the Scripture says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so back before creation, the Word was with God. The Word was the Creator. Now we see in verse 10, John tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what this whole Christmas season is all about. The Word, the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, was not only a spirit being, but now became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you have trouble with your flesh sometimes?
All the time.
I say, you get over 50, you realize every year something new you can't do anymore. It just, you know, our flesh causes problems. We'll talk a little bit later on, if we get to it this week, about the sinless weaknesses of Christ's flesh. But Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. In John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, John is saying, that which was from the beginning, of course he's speaking of Jesus Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, notice, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Back in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, notice what he says. We have seen it with our eyes. We have heard Jesus Christ. We have seen him, and we have, our hands have handled. We have touched him. He is physically, he is real. He was not just a spirit being that somehow had a form that we could see, but was no substance. So Jesus Christ is the God-man. Now, what does that mean? And we have to understand that Jesus Christ was all God and all man. It's hard for us to understand. Some things are hard for us to comprehend. Did you ever think about eternity past? When you go back 10,000 years ago, and the world was created. And after that, you go back 1,000,000 years, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, angels were there. You go back 1,000,000 years before that, another 1,000,000 years before that, and you go back another 1,000,000,000 years and 1,000,000,000,000 years, if you know. And then we think of eternity future. We have trouble with that. We know that God sets out that the next thing that's going to happen is the rapture of the church, followed by 7 years of tribulation, and then 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and then eternity. How long is that going to last? Forever. We have trouble because we're so locked into the clock. We have trouble thinking about that. We have trouble understanding that Jesus Christ at the same time could be all God, have all the attributes of God, at the same time be truly mankind. Because you see, Jesus Christ had to be all man in order to die and pay for the sins of mankind. And that, you know, that's the reason he came and was born and had a physical growth and development. Because if he just showed up as an adult individual and said, okay, I'm here, I'm going to take care of this sin problem, you're going to die on the cross. See that? He wasn't born and lived a life. He needed to be born as a man. I want you to think about that thought. Jesus Christ came and he took upon himself the robe of flesh. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But he had a human birth. We know that. We think about that now. Luke chapter 2. He had human development. Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, favor with God and man. And so we understand that. But he had all the essential elements of human nature. He had a body. We know he had a soul. In Matthew 26:38, he said, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. In Luke 23 and verse 46, we find Christ has a spirit. And Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having thus said, he gave the ghost. So we know he had a body. We know that that body was first seen in Bethlehem the time of his birth. But we know also he had a soul. Now, body, soul, and spirit. The soul and spirit are kind of interesting things. And theologians have discussed the soul and the spirit for a long time because sometimes theologians don't have much else to do. But they discuss the, you know, what is the soul and the spirit? The soul is what is our identity, our mental capacity, what makes us who we are. The spirit is the part of us that communes with God. And so Jesus Christ had individual personality, identity. He, of course, had a spirit. And the spirit of Jesus Christ is a part of him that communed with God. So he had a body, a soul, and a spirit. He had human names. We know he was Jesus. He was Emmanuel. And we know that he was called by human names. And he had the sinless weaknesses of human nature. We won't take time to look at all these verses. But Jesus got tired. He was weary. Remember when he'd been with the apostles all day long, they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, and he laid in the back of the boat on a pillow and went to sleep. Why? He was tired. That's what I do when I get tired. I go to sleep. There's nothing sinful about sleeping. It's sinful about sleeping if you should be doing something else when you're sleeping. I understand that. But it's a sinless... He was hungry. His body required food to sustain his body, so he had to eat. He was thirsty. He slept. And we find that even there on the temptation of Christ, And again, that's something that's a whole other topic. Christ was not tempted to see if he would sin or not, okay? Christ was tempted to prove he would not sin. But nevertheless, the sinless weakness of human flesh and deity, he possesses the attributes of deity. He had the power to forgive, the power to heal, the power to control nature. Only deity can do that. Only God can do that. He had divine offices. He was identified as the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Over and over, we see him saying, "I am." And saying those words infuriated the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because in saying, "I am," he identified himself with the Jehovah God that Moses met at the burning bush when he said, say the "I am" hath sent thee. He identified as the "I am" of the Old Testament. He was worshipped as deity and accepts the worship. You see, we find that over and over, the individuals in the Gospels fall down and worship Christ. Now, if Christ were not all God, he would be encouraging a lie by allowing them to worship him. But he allowed he was worshipped and allowed and received their worship. And so he was worshipped as deity. Now this is, to me, is interesting. The eternal state of Christ. What is Christ like now? You think that when he came, he was born in a manger, born as a baby. He grew up with all of the sinless problems of childhood. He lived to an adult, about 30 years of age, and became his public ministry. He served in his public ministry. And then he died, was buried, and rose again, ascended to heaven. But think about this. Eternally before he was born in Bethlehem, he was a spirit. He did not have a body. And then we see that he was born with that body. On the cross, that body died. He suffered, of course, more than we can imagine, but his body suffered death. His body lay 3 days and three nights in the tomb. After 3 days and three nights, he took it back. He says, "I have the power to lay my life down, the power to take it again." He resurrected himself from the grave. When he came out of the grave, he had what? A body. He came, and Thomas, we always complain about doubting Thomas. We get too critical of these people sometimes. But doubting Thomas, Thomas said, "I don't believe unless I put my fingers in the hole, my finger in the hole in his hands, and put my hand into his side." And so Christ said, "Come here, go ahead." Of course, Thomas didn't do it. But we know that he had a physical body after his resurrection. He came to the Sea of Galilee when Peter and the others were there, said, "I go fishing," and he busied himself there and built a fire and baked coal, had put coals, and he physically was there, had a body. Acts chapter 1, he came to the mountain there with the apostles. We find that he had a body. And Acts chapter 1 tells us that his body ascended to heaven. He didn't leave his body here, but his body ascended to heaven. And so now in heaven, Jesus Christ is there in a body. And we know that he will come bodily for the rapture. Jesus Christ will come in the clouds, not to earth at the first, in the rapture. In the second coming, he will come to earth to rule and reign. But he will come bodily for the rapture. He will bring judgment in a body. He will sit in judgment on the throne that we call the Bema Seat or the Judgment Seat of Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war." a white horse, an individual in a body sitting on that horse. Now, I don't know about you, but that the thought, Jesus Christ, an eternal spirit, in order to pay for our sins, took upon him the form of man, took upon him a body. As he took upon that body, he knew that for eternity in the future, he would have that body. You know, it's something that someone say that you have a close relative that has kidney failure, and you're the match for them. And so you say, I'm going to be willing to go and be a kidney donor, knowing that by donating that kidney, I myself put myself at risk. If I ever have kidney troubles, I have a real problem. And for the rest of my life, I live under that cloud. That's one thing. Because we know, as Christians, we'll get a new body. We'll need kidneys. But Jesus, for Jesus Christ to become man, knowing that for eternity future, he would be in. Now, he is God, I understand that. He is omniscient, he's omnipresent, all those things, I understand that. But he is in the form of man for all eternity. And that, you know, that tells us something too, that it's a lot easier for us to associate with him as a man than as a spirit. We get to heaven at the Bema Seat. We'll see him seated on that seat, and he'll give us rewards for the things that we've done for him, and we'll be able to cast those rewards at his feet. We'll see him in the New Jerusalem. We'll see him as an individual, and we'll be able to spend time with him and communicate as we do man to man here. But to me, that's an astounding thought. So two things that I have trouble with. Light, how all that worked, and Jesus Christ being incarnate in flesh for all eternity future. Any thoughts or questions or anything as we close? Yes, Bob.
I was just thinking that in John chapter 3, I mean, this here was exactly what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, the Mark Bell master of Israel, yet you don't understand.
Yeah.
Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on to say, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And if no man ascendeth up into heaven, he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is presently in heaven.
Right. Yeah, we have trouble. The world today is biblically illiterate. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ, eternal things, it's like we're speaking a whole different language. You know, 50 years ago, almost everyone, they didn't go to a church, a Baptist church like this, but everyone to the church, it was taught the Bible stories. And so they could relate to it, but now they have trouble with that. Yes, Barbara.
Genesis 1:3, I was looking at it again. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And Scofield has a note here. It says, neither here or later is an original creative act implied. A different word is used. The sense is made to appear or made visible. So Jesus Christ made to, if you read that as let there be light, he it says here, made to appear or made visible.
Yes.
But it's not created, right?
Well,
how does that verse mean?
Christ is light for all eternity,
yes,
past and eternity future.
Right.
But let there be light. The creation then was exposed to light.
Right.
Light was the first element of creation because none of the rest of creation could exist without light.
Right.
And we have to be careful too. C.I. Scofield did a great job, but
yeah.
You know, I trust the scriptures more than I trust Scofield's notes.
Right.
You know,
I don't understand that. Let there be light. You can't say it was created.
Yeah.
That light wasn't created, right?
Well, I think when it came to The creation we know did not know light until that time. But Christ was always the light. Thoughts? Ideas? Are we having choir this morning? Do you know anything about that, Helen?
I don't. I don't see this.
It doesn't appear we are because we don't have Tim or Weston, so we won't be having choir. Okay, so after we pray, you can talk quietly amongst yourselves. And we'll have our service, of course, at 11 o'clock. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you for today. Thank you for this time and the reminder that Jesus Christ came to earth and everything that he set aside that he might come to earth and spend time and work out the plan of salvation for us that we might be saved. Thank you for all the things he's prepared for us for eternity, that we might see him in his body in eternity. We might fellowship with him and we might worship him in his body in eternity. Lord, we pray for those that are still coming in. The roads can be a little bit messy in places. And Lord, we ask that you watch over them and care for them. And Lord, we pray that you bless now in our morning service. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.